Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today, this morning, is a live prophecy reality edition. Good morning to the few people that showed up in the chat room and to everyone that's listening, wherever you may be listening. Today, we're going to just talk about what's in the news, current events. Don't really have a topic for the second hour in prophecy, but, well, it's all about our prophecy worldview. So, yeah, good to see you there, Fireman Mike, in the chat room. And good to hear your voice once in a while when you call in. Okay, scripture verses. Let's see. I have some scripture verses up. Oh, I'm already starting out needing a drink here. Let's see. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Well, what does that scripture mean? And, you know, that's what they tell people when they want them to obey the government. As a matter of fact, I think some of the newer versions might even say that exactly. Let's see, I have a couple in my tab here, ESV. Let's see, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Ooh, the governing authorities. It kind of waters down the true meaning of it. I think I like the King James Version better. Let every soul, yes, all of us are individual souls. So just speaking of us individually, it's not as a group of people, but let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, I like that it says higher powers because it's more than one. Because what if you want to be subject to the highest power, that is God, and you want to be subject to every power that God has put over you and is lawfully in place, but they want you to be disobedient to the higher power over them. See? So if there's an intervening power that wants you to be disobedient or is disobedient to those in power, because there's always someone higher as long as you're a man. And of course, the highest power of all is God. God is the highest power. So if every soul is to be subject to the higher powers, what happens when the authority directly over you, or whatever levels between you and God there are in powers established, don't want to obey God and want to force you or give you the option of disobeying God? Now, if they merely give you an option, say, well, you know, you can kill your child up until it's coming out of the womb. Yeah, we're going to allow that. But you know that God's law says thou shalt not murder, and definitely killing a helpless child, wherever it is murder. Okay? But they give you an option. Okay, of course, you have to go to the higher power. And go, well, they're giving me an option between doing the right thing, letting my child live, and doing an evil thing, killing my child. Okay. So if you listen to them and you ignore God and you take their option to disobey the higher power than them, well, then you are putting them in the place of God. See how that works? That's called idolatry. Yeah. So. And that's how I view Romans 13:1. That's why all of these newfangled versions listen to the governing authorities. Well, that's kind of skewed, and it seems to exclude God, because God is not just merely a governing authority. He is the highest governing authority. And that's why I think that the King James translators got it right when they said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, not just the governing authority, but however they might say it to water it down. and giving the person who's ever, whoever, whatever governing authority out there, yeah, you can listen to them. So, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, it says. But is a tyrant ordained of God? So whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. So then these powers that God puts in place must be governing by the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive damnation. For rulers are not a terror unto good works. Well, what if they are a terror to good works, but to the evil, but actually they're promoting evil? So all of these things need to be taken into consideration. It needs to be taken as a whole and weighed circumspectly when we read this, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Yeah. Okay. And why is this important? Well, it's always been important. We see that even, I believe it was, who was it? Peter said to the governing authorities in his days, not the higher powers, because they definitely weren't higher powers, but they were governing authorities. And they were not subject to them. They would to the degree that they were in agreement with the highest power, that was God. But where they didn't, they said, should we obey God or man? Yeah, that was Peter's question. Who should we obey, God or man? And that should be our question too, when anyone throws in our face, Romans 13. Yes, who should we obey, God or man? Well, the answer is a no-brainer. We should obey God. Let's see, I had another scripture here. Where was that one at? Let's see, I think it was, yes, this one. And I think I brought this one up last time I was on the air. I did take last week off, and on a sad but a happy note at the same time, my son did pass away a week ago yesterday. He passed in his sleep, peacefully. He was not in any pain or anything like that, or afraid. He lived without fear. So basically, the last time I remember my son, who, as you all know, was severely mentally retarded. That's the label they put on him. The only time I ever saw him afraid of anything was when he was learning to walk. He was afraid to fall down. Yeah. And so I taught him how to walk by teaching him how to fall. Yeah, that was pretty important. And once he figured out that he could just basically sit down, then he wasn't afraid to try to walk anymore. So I taught him how to just fall on his little butt and sit down, and he was quite happy with that. But since then, I've never seen any fear in him at all. So as far as death, I don't believe he was afraid, and I believe that I will see him in the resurrection. So it's a blessing, yeah, because really, as far as this life is concerned, the best parts of this life had already passed for him. So in a way, for him, a blessing. And I will see him in the resurrection. And you all meet him in the resurrection. But I will see him as he never was, because he will be totally healed, totally complete and whole in the resurrection. So something to look forward to. Anyway, that's the personal note. Thank you for your condolences. But like I said, be happy, especially for him. Yeah. All of his, challenges are over. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Where was it? Oh, yes. Revelation 18:23. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And, we've talked about the judgment of the great whores. One of the things that is on our prophetic calendar that is going to happen before Christ returns. So, see, the return of Christ, despite what the dispensationalists say, the rapture dispensationalists, and they say it's imminent. It could come at any time. Well, they say that because they believe that all of the bad things are going to happen after they're raptured out. Of course, you know, I mean, what a scam for Satan to sell to the church. You know, hey, you won't have to go through tribulation. How about buying this from me? You know, Satan's always got some scam to sell. And that's the scam he sold to Christians, is that they won't have to suffer. Well, I mean, yeah, that gratifies my flesh. I don't want to suffer. You know, it's like, you know, the temptation to commit suicide or murder, self-murder, is, oh, you won't have to suffer, you know. You can, yeah. Well, you know what? Even Jesus, the scripture says, was perfected or matured by suffering. And if he could be matured or perfected in love or whatever, because he never did anything wrong, it's not that he wasn't perfect, but like we are imperfect, we are sinful, and we need him. But even the scripture says that even he was matured through suffering. So there was a maturing process for Christ as a man, okay, as we all went through. And suffering was part of that maturing process. So if it was needful for him, then how much more for us? So think about that. Some of us have private suffering. Some of us live with suffering. Some of us have times of great suffering and anguish in our lives and anxiety, you know. And when I was going through periods of anxiety in my life, and it just seemed overwhelmingly too much for my soul, I just thought about Jesus, the anxiety, the pressure was so great on him that he was sweating blood. Yeah. I can understand the anxiety, but I've never experienced that much anxiety that I would sweat drops of blood, that the anguish, the anxiety would be so heavy on me as it was on him. So I know that whatever I'm going through, whatever suffering, in whatever way that suffering comes, whether it's physical pain or anguish, anxiety, overwhelming pressure on your life, that Jesus endured more, and that he will get me through it. That's right. So we can count on all of the promises of God are ours. But we're looking forward to the punishment, the destruction of Mystery Babylon, the whore that rides the beast, and it will hit her in the home, the seed of the beast, and then it will spread throughout the whole world, wherever she has a foothold, to all of her adherents will be punished too. And you can see how this happens when the world gets target to take out all of their anxiety, all of their frustration, and their retribution. And yes, their, what's the word I'm looking for? Okay, well, that word escaped me. Having a teenage moment here. But you know what I'm saying? Well, if they get a target, someone to blame, and take out their anxiety and their frustration on for all that the Antichrist and the shadow government has been putting through the world through for by the her sorceries. And when you saw this happen lockstep across the world, you know who is behind it. It is the Antichrist and her shadow government. Who else does the Bible give such great power to that they could pull this off worldwide, lockstep, and in unison across the whole world at the same time? This is an Antichrist project. The Antichrist and her shadow government is pulling this off. And when the 10 horns turn against her, the little horn, that is, then it will spread throughout the whole world across the many waters that she is seated on. And people will take it out. They will take out that retribution for the things that she's done. Things which she has right now, the cover of multiple layers of culpable deniability. But the time is coming. This is something that must intervene, something that must happen before Christ returns. And yes, all of the pre-tribulation rapturists who are believing in a secret rapture, extra-biblical resurrection that doesn't wait for Christ to return with his angels and remove all of his elect from the earth and to meet all of the elect that are resurrected at the same time upon his return. Yeah. They're going to have a secret rapture. And the reason it's a secret is because God didn't put it in the Bible, but he left it to be revealed by some Jesuitical pastor from the 19th century, you know, less than a couple hundred years ago. Yeah, we're going to go for that, right, Satan? No, we'll go with the Word of God, and we're not going to believe in that pre-tribulation rapture deception, the seven-year tribulation deception. And that should be coming up real soon on the Antichrist or the Man of Sin's calendar as part of his deception for the whole world. But for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Never was this portion of this verse more fitting than it is now. Because, of course, the word sorceries there, if we look it up, in our, here it is, sorceries. It's the G5331 pharmakia, medication. That is, yeah, magic, sorcery, witchcraft. But there it is, pharmakia, the word we use for pharmacy. Yes. And now, what is the Antichrist using? Yeah, what is the Antichrist using? Pharmakia. And to deceive all the nations, like I said, never more fitting than with what is going on in the world right now. But are we going to get a reprieve? Are things going to back off? Well, it seems like things are on the verge of the narrative breaking down, the deception being outed. And will it be that when people start digging, will they see that all roads lead to Rome? Will they uncover enough to identify that power behind the lockstep monsters of the world that have committed what will amount to genocide as time goes on? It may take a few years for this thing to play out, and it likely will. But her sorceries will be uncovered, and the world will see, and they will turn on the whore that rides the beast and burn her with fire. Read Revelation chapter 18, and you'll learn all about it. For by thy sorceries, by thy pharmakia, were all nations deceived. And I know all the pre-tribulation rapturists out there, they don't believe in the Antichrist. They believe he's some guy that's going to show up after they leave the earth in a secret rapture. I mean, how could anyone even buy into this lie, this deception? But they do. You can argue with them till kingdom come, and they don't want to let go of that comfort. Because they are so afraid of suffering. They are so afraid to go through tribulation. Yeah, they're cowards. So they'd rather believe a lie. They buy into what Satan's telling them. The lie that he sells them is so comfortable to them that they cannot let go of it. They just cannot accept that they might have to go through tribulation. Jesus plainly stated, in this life you will have tribulation. So for them to say, no, I don't want no tribulation for me. I can't. They got their blinders on. They go, we can't know who the Antichrist is because he will not be revealed until we are taken off the earth, you know, and we escape all tribulation and suffering. No, that can't happen. No mark of the beast while I'm here. Yeah, well, yeah, read your Bible without twisting it. Yeah, read it like a child, just by the plane under how you would understand it. If you hadn't been indoctrinated with all that counter-reformation nonsense, that all that counter-reformation eschatology that the Jesuits have taught you and that has been built upon by their agents throughout the centuries since they developed it. So there it is, the sorceries. Yeah, we have some news items that may appertain to that. Let's see what we got here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, there was this article. EU regulators who called for an end. Yeah, that's WHO. Called for an end to, yeah, additional transhuman shots. Citing evidence that the strategy is failing. Yeah. Now, it's funny that, you know, people, if I read that word for word, that I could be banned or or kicked off of some platforms for reading the truth. See, the truth is not in, yeah. that's how much control the Antichrist and his shadow government have, that you can actually be banned on platforms for speaking the truth. So anyway, all of you are subscribed to Robert F. Kennedy's website, The Defender, and that is childrenshealthdefense.org. If you're not, you should. Everyone should be subscribed to his website there, and you'll get the truth. Now, I know he's been banned in a lot of places. They don't like him at all. I have to say, in the world, the man is one of my heroes. Yeah. There are very few heroes out there. Well, you know, there are a lot of heroes, but very few of them that have a name that is recognizable and, speaks the truth. Okay. Let's see. What else do we got here? Well, I'm going into a break. That's what's going on. And we'll look at some more news items when I get back from the break. And I'll check out the chat room, your comments, your questions, even calls if anyone wants to call in. That would be fine. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we were talking about pharmakia. How Mystery Babylon, as the scripture says of Mystery Babylon and the seed of the beast, that whore church, as she's called, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, says, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And the word sorceries there, as we know, is translated from the word pharmakia, never more fitting than with what is going on today, that she is absolutely involved. I mean, if this was something that just happened in America, or say just happened in a couple nations, or Western Europe, or perhaps in New Zealand and Australia. But no, this is worldwide. I mean, every nation, even Russia and China, all these nations that are all seem so disparate, different from one another. You'd think that one would and the other would not, but no, all the nations. And so what does this tell you? That her shadow government is in all these nations, all of them, the whole world, and that the play going on here about the East and the West and communism versus democracy, it's all a fallacy. It's all a show. It's just there for show. That's all it's there for, because she is behind it all. And, her design is to kill all liberty. To rob mankind of all liberty and free thought and subjugate the whole world. And that's why you see it's all going the way of subjugation. Wherever the government is the most tyrannical in the world is where she has the most control. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Wherever the government is the most tyrannical on the earth is where she has the most control on the earth. Yeah, you wouldn't think so, would you? Well, because she hides it so well. Because she does not want to. She does not want to receive the punishment for her deeds as she did in the past. So she's learned to hide under many layers of culpable deniability. Yeah. Yeah, she didn't like being a target. So, well, let me see here. Get this. Your name and where you're calling from? Yeah, well, okay. Anyway, if anyone wants to call on the phone and actually talk, has a voice, or is not too afraid to open their mouth, the phone rings. Whether it works or not, I won't know unless someone calls, but it usually does work. Works all other times of the day, yeah. Okay, so we're looking forward to that, something that's going to happen. So it's a marker along the road. It's a sign post along the way that when this happens, we know that it won't be long at all. Then the coming of Christ will be imminent, because I don't think there's much after that that's going to happen. I think that's kind of like one of the last things on the agenda. And I don't think, you know, as I'm unlike the pre-tribulation rapturists, where they have to cram everything into 3.5 or 7 years, or however that works out, whatever they believe, because they have all kinds of different ideas of how it's going to play out in there, either 3.5 or 7 years. I believe that these things take time, because it's already taken 2,000 years to get as far in the Revelation as what we have got now. And what we're playing out now. And if you'd like to know more about that, I have written several books. I've got my exposition of the Revelation, which you can get. The Beast Apocalyptic, my latest book. And if you read The Beast Apocalyptic, it helps you. Once you understand the enigma of the beast powers and all of the related symbols, because that's what this book is all about. Once you understand that, everything else pretty much falls into place. Yeah. Because you understand the main characters of the book of Revelation. And also the Reformed prophecy interpretation, an overview, or as the title, the subtitle says, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. And I'm thinking what I have to do now is take all of those books and put them together in one volume. That might be the thing to do. Yeah, so everybody can get them all at once. But I don't know. I'm still wondering what my next project will be. I thought about writing about my journey of the last 30 years on my my march. Let's see. Protesting. That's what I would call it. Protesting the mark of the beast for the last 30 years, ever since I discovered that Satan and his minions, and well, the Antichrist and his minions, his shadow government, have been working for at least several hundred years. And over the last 100 years or so, but the last 100 years, especially since they took over, they had a successful operation that I call, the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury. Yes, that was an Antichrist project, that came to fruition in 1913. That is the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury, because the Antichrist did get control of the U.S. Treasury in 1913, because, well, really what he wanted to do was use the power, the wealth of the American people to fund his project of taking over the world. And he has done that. They tried for over 100 years to take over the Treasury of the United States, and they finally did it. They thought they had done it early in the 19th century, but then we had a few wise men back there that squashed their national bank. They wanted banking to be a free enterprise in America. It's not a free enterprise anymore. You cannot go and open your own bank. No, sorry, you can't do it. You have to become a Federal Reserve subsidiary now, because the Federal Reserve has been given a monopoly in America. And no, it's not a federal government agency. I don't, that's part of the deception, is they make things sound good and people believe what they see or hear on the surface. And they believe, oh, Federal Reserve, that's part of the government. Well, no, it's not. It's part of a government, but it's not ours. It's part of a government takeover of, by the Antichrist and his shadow government. So that project has been very successful. The Antichrist has robbed us, has taken all of our industries and exported to them to where he has the most control, China. Yeah. Let's put it plainly like it is. When I say that wherever the tyranny is the greatest, that's where the Antichrist is the strongest. And that would be China. Believe it or not. I mean, I don't have to prove it. You could look into it for yourself. Okay. Wherever the genocides have been the greatest is where the Antichrist has had the most, the greatest power. Yeah. I mean, who do you think, people like Hitler, Pol Pot, Stalin, they were all agents of the Antichrist, trained by him and his shadow government. And they did what they did. Yeah. Because they were trained to do that. That's what they were trained to do. And a lot of people just go, you say things like this, they just, conspiracy theorists, nut. Yeah, it's okay. You don't have to believe the Bible. When the Bible says that Satan at the end, through his Antichrist, through his man of sin, right, through his man of sin, who ruled the world for 1260 years, would, by intrigue, after his 1260 year overt reign was over, he received that wound by the sword, but did live. Yeah, he was healed, but he learned. And now he works behind the scenes in the shadows as much as he can. But, you know, if anyone's looking, really looking, it's there to be found. Just listen to First Amendment Radio. Yeah. Have First Amendment Radio on all day and listen to the broadcast there. A lot of people, even on First Amendment Radio, don't really identify the Antichrist. But we have a lot of good reformed teaching, because getting your theology correct is a good thing too, but getting your eschatology correct is very helpful too, because you can see the world for what it is. History is important. Learning the history that they won't allow to be taught in the public education system, even college anymore. Maybe they used to teach history, because if you understand history, especially the history of the church and the Antichrist, the anti-Christian church going back through the last couple thousand years, then it's easier to see what's going on in the world if history is not hidden from you. Because you can learn a lot of ancient history, as they call it, or the history of the last 2,000 years, and still have certain parts of it hidden from you. Because if you were the Antichrist, if you were the man of sin, history did not cast you in a favorable light, but you had the power to control what was taught, well, then that's what you would do. That's what we do. You would do, absolutely. Let's see. Steven says in the chat room, looking forward to meeting your son. Thank you for that. And thank you for your prayers. He says, I went to a county meeting at a church with those in the faith. Most of those at the meeting are weighing their job, career, reputation against God's law. Their question, what is a Christian's responsibility to civil government? I shared Romans 13, Luke 22, Proverbs 1, and was invited back. The Lord is my strength. Well, I'm glad you were invited back. And, you know, I did notice a little activity on my website. Let me look at that again here somewhere. Let's see. There was some activity here. If you go to my website, in the left-hand column, you'll see trending now at the top. It says Romans 13 and socialism. Who is the higher power, God or civil government? And, yeah, that in the left-hand column there, you can see it on the screen behind me there. And there it is. It's second from the top of Get the Book, Romans 13 and Socialism. So if you click on that, that article will come up. And let's see, that was from, I think, 2019. And yeah, that would be a good teaching and very relevant. So that might be your activity there. Maybe you gave them that link or something. Because I was kind of curious, how did that old program get up there? But as relevant today as it was when I did it. So hopefully people are getting a good education from that there. So that's there if anyone's interested. Romans 13 and socialism, who is the higher power? That's trending now on my website. So that would be a good primer on how all of those they list there. Let's see what else. They also list Luke 22, where Jesus talks about socialism. He doesn't use the word socialism, but like I said, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, well, it's a duck. So what he describes is socialism, and I explained that there in that video too. And also socialism is outlined in Proverbs 1:10-15, and that's probably kind of what Jesus was referring to, because Jesus read all that Old Testament stuff. I'm sure that he knew what it said. And when he was describing, they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, that his words, and I believe that the King James translators, again, you know, got it correct. They are called benefactors. They are not benefactors. They are only called benefactors because they redistribute the wealth of others. They don't distribute their own wealth. That's what a real benefactor does. A true benefactor takes out of his own wealth, his own labor, you know, and he gives it to the poor and distributes it because he's exercising true charity. So he's a true benefactor. But these guys in government are only called benefactors because they create, today, they just create money out of thin air, but they rob us all to pay for it. And that's why we can continually have inflation since the Antichrist and his shadow government have taken over the government and exercise the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury. So we have inflation built into our system since then because they've been robbing us ever since then. And that's why, you know, the Antichrist and the shadow government are so wealthy. They don't have to worry about nothing. And whoever they get to go along to run whatever projects they have going on or to capitalize or monopolize whatever technologies come up that they can use, which they have done, they select who gets to be rich and who gets to run all these monopolies. As you can see, they all go along with the agenda, whatever the Antichrist and his shadow government will pay them or keep them rich and in billions of dollars to do. It's just like all the new billionaires rolling out for the Antichrist, his sorcery, his pharmakia on the world today. Anyway, I'm hoping that that there will be some enough pushback, at least to, and obviously there will be, as we talked about the world, something's going to open the eyes of the world that they're going to bring it back to the great whore and burn her with fire and exercise God's retribution on her. Vengeance, that's the word. The vengeance of God. You know, vengeance is mine. Thus saith the Lord, vengeance is mine. And it is his. It's not ours as believers to exercise vengeance, but God will use the world, because they will look for vengeance. And God does use the ungodly to punish the wicked. You can read that throughout and learn that throughout the entire scripture itself. Let's see what else we got in the chat room here. Thank you for those words there, Stephen, in the chat room. I guess no one else has much to say. Thank you for all of your kind thoughts there and condolences. I appreciate that. Let's see what else we got. We got news items here, so let's check them out. Israel, you know, the hope of the pre-tribulation rapturists and dispensationalists, you know, their gods on earth, because they worship Jews, yeah, and that's an idolatry, you know, you know, always find idolatry wrapped up with this false prophecy. They idolize people because of their blood, you know, because of their flesh and blood. Yeah. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But anyway, the nation Israel out there today, national Israel, confirms that the transhuman jab fails against... Yeah, it's a failure. That's what they're saying. And they said that all mandates must end now. I agree. Let's see, former Bay Area lockdown guru. Okay, everybody, please stop locking down now. So we might have some kind of enough pushback that we can throw off this delusion, this deception, the great pharmakia sorcery right now. And this may be, because I think if things play out the way they're going, it may take a couple years for everyone to identify exactly what is happening right now and how it's going to play out and what the effects of it will be over the next few years. And then when they do, and then they start looking for a target, someone to blame, I think that's when they might find Mystery Babylon. Because, you know, it does say in that scripture that, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And this is listed as perhaps one of the reasons that the nations turn on her, because of her they were deceived by her sorceries. But the effects of those, of that sorcery on them, as it will, the fallout will continue over the next few years. And not only on her, but her agents, these genocidal eugenicists who have taken advantage of this sorcery and the deception by which the nations have been deceived to carry out their agenda of reducing the population as much as they possibly could through this. And that fallout is continuing and will continue over the next few years. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. This is going to play out. But unfortunately, you know, for the nations that turn on the whore and burn her with fire, well, they don't repent either. Because it's not going to be enough for them. But there will be some repentance. There will be some eyes open to the truth. And that's what we pray for, that, you know, for all of the elect to be revealed, that all Israel, true Israel, will be saved. And it will be. No doubt about it. The scripture says that all Israel will be saved. And we're not talking about Israel in the flesh. No, what's his name? You know, those Israelites like Judas and other evil men who are Israelites are not going to be saved. So when it says all Israel will be saved, well, it cannot be speaking of evil people. It can only be speaking of the true Israel, the elect of all ages, from Adam and Eve to the last person. Okay? All Israel will be saved. All of the elect will be saved. Okay, that's how you have to read the scripture. Uh-oh. Dale says ridiculous. So, what's ridiculous, Dale? We'd like to know. Yeah, or who you're speaking to, because I hope it's not me. The things I'm saying may sound ridiculous, especially to the world and the unlearned. Or is it that all Israel will be saved? The scripture says that, so it has to be true. So then we have to ask the question, well, who exactly is Israel? Well, they're identified, all the ones that are saved. So it must be the true Israel, see? Thank you, Dale, for clarifying that. He says, do not comply. Yeah, do not comply with evil and tyranny. Okay, well, this is the end of our first hour. I still got more news headlines to go through in the next hour, plus your comments, questions, whatever.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. Going into our second hour here. Let's see. We've been talking about the judgment of Mystery Babylon. The next thing on God's prophetic agenda is at least the next major item that's outlined in the scripture before Jesus returns. And so, therefore, the return of Christ is not imminent. Sorry. Certain things the scripture outlines are going to happen before he returns. So they must happen before he returns. And so one of the last items on the agenda is the judgment of the great whore that the ten horn powers of Western Europe are going to turn on her, the little horn power called Mystery Babylon. It is a religious power because it commits fornication with the kings of the earth. And it has a name written on it, blasphemies. And yeah, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So we know who we're talking about. She has her place on seven hills, the city that at the time that John wrote the Revelation, ruled all the nations of the earth. So identified. And she has that place now with her own independent city nation. So when the ten horns turn on the little horn locality there, because that identifies her place, where she is, and they destroy her with fire, then we're going to see that fire spread out as the rest of the world, once they have a target to take their vengeance out on, they will take their vengeance out on her and all her tributaries, all of her outposts throughout the world will be attacked, because that's what the world does when they have a target to attack, right or wrong. In this case, God. It says, the Bible says that God will put it into their hearts to carry out his will and punish her and burn her with fire. So that's what we have. And then Christ will come. Now, Many of you have seen on my website. If you go to my website there, let me see. This one here. Oh, homepage. In the upper right-hand corner of my website, you'll see a posting there, What Year Is It? And this is a Bible study. It takes you through the entire Old Testament, and it counts, it brings out of the Scripture a chronology of the time up until Christ appears. And that's all Bible-derived. It's all derived from the Bible. And so if you click on that, well, that post will come up like that, and you'll have this summary chart. And if you click on the summary chart, you see it becomes very big there. And you can see the Bible-derived era. That's what I'm talking about. There's two charts here in these summary charts. The Bible-derived era, we get that out of the Scripture. And that study takes you through and outlines all of this with biblical references so that you can look at the Bible yourself and you can verify everything there in this top portion, the Bible-derived era. Of course, then, that brings us up to Christ and the Roman desolation. And then we overlap there with the Roman era, okay, using the BC calendar, which covers, you know, from early in the Roman era, about the time of Christ anyway. And we overlap there, beginning with Christ's ministry, the Daniel 70 weeks, and so on. And then that brings us up to the date. We talk about the calendars and why, how we can trust them, why we should trust them for the Roman era and all of that. And then that brings us, in, if you follow it, it brings you up to, well, in 2015, when I last updated this chart, which I don't need to update again, because I haven't found, even though people challenge me all the time, and I'm always looking into, because if I'm wrong, I want to repair the wrong and make it right and make sure that everyone has the latest. But since 2013, I've made a few corrections in it from 2013 to 2015. But since then, I haven't made any correction that would make, I've clarified, made things just a little clearer and refined some very minor things. But the major thesis and the timeline stands regardless of small changes that I made. And 2015, I have down as equals 5960, meaning that from the year 2015, when I last updated this summary chart, we had 40 years left. Well, we can subtract 7 from that 40 now, because it is now 7 years later. The year is 2022. So subtract 7 from your 40, and what do you get? You got 33 years left. About 33 years left. For all of the everything left to play out in. Now, I don't say it's exactly 2055 before the seventh millennium begins, because that's the whole idea here, is that 5,999 years from the creation, and we're counting from the Adam, because he was created in day 6. So 6 days. Not a big deal. I'm not trying to get the exact day or hour or even month, but I have to put a year on it. So I'm saying about 2055. It may be the year before. It may be the year after. I might be a couple years off. I'm going to say that I'm trying to get as exact as I can, but I came to the conclusion that I cannot be exact, that no one can be exact because of this BCE dating thing. You know, when we have BCE dates, because you'll have people out there, they'll go, well, on 345 BCE, April 7th at 9 a.m., you know, and I'm going, no way, dude. Just because you said all of that, I don't believe you, because no one used the same days that we use now then. No one used the same calendars or even the same months that we are using now then. So there was no April, whatever, or May, or March, or any of these dates did not exist 500 years BC. None of them. The best you can do in BCE dating is be approximate. Maybe to the season of the year. Maybe you could get to the season of the year. But I think even that's highly unlikely. That I think it's only approximate, maybe within a couple years, to have a BCE date correlate with the BCE dating system. Okay. That maybe you can get within a couple years. And I think that's honest. And I think that if anyone's honest, that they would make that same admission. Either that, or they'd have to come up with an awful lot of research to correlate and corroborate what they're saying. So, and that's why I've come to the conclusion that I've come to, that I'm only going to say it's about, as I have here on the calendar behind me here, wherever it is, right about there, it says 2055 Common Era, or 5959 hyphen 6000. So the year 5999, 6000, that year is about 2055 of the Common Era, or the calendar we're using now, the Gregorian calendar, put it that way. And I put since creation, SC, since creation, with the whole thesis being that the seventh millennium from the creation will be the Sabbath millennium, the millennium that we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It will be the blessed era, the blessed millennium of God's creation, after which we will enter the eternal state, the new heaven and new earth. And that's how I read the Bible. That's what I see going on there. So, and there you have all of that. And like I said, you can see it's quite a lengthy article here going through what year is it. And then you come to the genealogies. I have, you know, it explains everything, the genealogies. And then it goes through the, what is it called? The birth of Isaac to Exodus riddle, ironing out what the years in there from what the Bible says. You'll see it if you go through it all. And so we iron that out and we figure out that. And then we have Exodus to Solomon's fourth year. That one is explicitly stated. From the Exodus to Solomon's fourth year, the fourth year of the reign of Solomon, the king of Judah, or king of Israel, after which we only count Judah because the nation divided, 480 years to the fourth year of Solomon's reign. So we pick that up in the genealogies of the kings of Judah to the desolation, which is about 3359 from creation, or 586 BC approximately. Like I said, we can only be approximate, but that's the approximate year we're using for that. And then we move forward and we synchronize that with, we talk about, well, the creation, Roman calendar synchrony. We talk about the Jewish calendar. We talk about the Gregorian calendar, the Roman Gregorian calendar. And that brings us up to, you know, the end and the conclusions that we come to. So make sure you take care of that. Take advantage of that resource there. What year is it from creation? Very important in understanding eschatology, or the study of end time things in the Bible, so that we know where we're at approximately. And yes, I do believe, and I've held with even the Jewish, the Hebrew nation held that the seventh millennium would be the millennium of the Messiah. Many of them and many Christians in the first and second century misunderstood the year. They went by the Septuagint, which had the end of the sixth millennium almost immediately. And that was wrong. But that's what they went with. And so they thought that that it would be that Christ was actually coming for the Sabbath millennium real soon. And like I said, that was from the Septuagint. Somehow it was a commentary on the Septuagint or something, a chronology from the Septuagint, that they believed that they were at the end of the sixth millennium already. Yeah, imagine that, that they could have been so wrong. Or someone was so wrong, but hey, We find that most people have been wrong throughout history, especially about Bible prophecy and the chronology of the time we're in. But I think we're near it now, and I hope that I have got it as right as any man can get it in my study, What Year Is It? But like I said, I haven't been able to update it for, 7 years now since I've made any tweaks or updates to that, What Year Is It? And I'm always keeping my eyes and my ears open for any challenges to that. And I think I've heard just about every challenge there is to hear already. So some people will hear some challenges I've already looked at and dismissed, and as if I haven't considered them. But I haven't wrote an exhaustive treatise on the topic. I'm just trying to get to the point there, just using the Bible and the calendation systems that we have for the Roman era or the New Testament era, and to come to the conclusion that we've come to. So make sure you take advantage of that. And like I said, also the Romans 13 socialism, who's the higher power? If you go to you'll look in the left-hand column if you follow that What Year Is It study, but in the left-hand column it says trending now. Check out that Romans 13 posting there, and there's a video I did, like I said, of 2019, and the references from the Bible are listed below the video, and I think that's a pretty good resource, if I must say so myself. Okay, well, let's look at some more news headlines. So we talked about, and I hit on Israel there, but they've been like the most tyrannical of all the nations on the earth with this transhuman jab and enforcing it against their people. And, you know, it's almost fitting that it should be that way because they have rejected the Messiah. You know, there are believers in Israel. There are true Israelites even in Israel. So, you know, like there is in all the nations. Because, you know, when the 70 weeks ended, and actually ended 7 years after Jesus showed up at the Jordan River baptism, their position as a set-apart nation to God ended. They became... on their status of nations, like all of the other nations. They could accept the gospel like all of the other nations or reject it. And they continued, they rejected it. They went into their diaspora. And, you know, I'm certain that God has a special place in his heart as a figure of speech for a national Israel. But he's not going to let them or save them another way. They still have to go through Jesus. They still have to rely on the blood of Jesus. And all Israel in the flesh is not going to be saved. That's an obvious fallacy if you take the Bible circumspectly, you know, and that's part of our instruction is to be circumspect. The Bible tells you to be circumspect. Okay, so if you can't read it circumspectly when it says, so shall all Israel be saved, realizing that it's not speaking of Israel in the flesh, but true Israel, the elect, the true Israel in the spirit, okay? Those that have the circumcision that is not of the flesh, but of the heart. That's the idea. Okay, so we'll move on. I read that one, former Bay Area lockdown guru. Yeah, so we see the pushback in the world. So, like I said, there will be pushback, and then people, as this thing plays out, and as the eugenicists dream becomes true and people start dropping dead from this genocide, from this attempt at genocide to reduce the population of the earth, people are going to want answers. They're going to want someone to blame. So we'll see how that plays out over the next few years. Observations from an experienced nurse about the transhuman jab. So plenty of good articles there at lewrockwellbeha.com. People are talking a lot about a lot of other things, behavior control. Let's see. Washington refuses to hear Russia and China. No, Washington is just playing the Antichrist game. When we speak Washington, they mean Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is not the United States of America. It will never be the 51st state. The Antichrist likes it being his own state because he owns Washington, D.C. It was his idea to set up that 10-mile square zone, and because he wanted to concentrate power in the New World. That was his idea. That was the Antichrist's contribution to the Constitution of the United States. Certainly didn't like them Bill of Rights and all of the liberty or any of the restrictions put on central government. He didn't like any of that, but he would take it knowing that if he could concentrate power, because that's what he's been about for the last 2,000 years, concentrating power in his own hands. So he knew anytime I can concentrate power, I can eventually gain all the control I want. Well, it took him 200 years to get where he is, 100 years to get total financial control in America. And once you have that, well, you got everything, don't you? Because even the scripture says money answers all things. So he got concentration of power. So whatever is going on with Washington, between Washington and Russia and China, that's just an antichrist. That's just the game that they're playing on the world stage. It's like their own little chessboard, and they're all their pieces, and they're just moving them around. Of course, there's the unexpected and the uncontrollable. So the antichrist will never have his way in everything, as the scripture says in the Psalms. They counsel together, but God will have them in derision. So derision they will continually have despite all of their plans and all of that they are able to do and control in the world. He will have them in derision, so much so that the ten horns will turn on the whore or Babylon, the whore that rides the beast, and destroy her with fire. And if you understand, whenever her is used, referring to a power in the Revelation, it's either the church or the whore church. It's one or the other when you get into the nomenclature, and you learn that by this study that I went through. And you don't have to buy the book. You can actually listen to my 10-part series that I did. Just scroll down on my website until you find The Beast Apocalyptic, and you'll see a playlist there. Or you can go to my YouTube page, Prophecy Reality YouTube page, and the whole playlist is there. And you can listen to the book for free because I actually did that series while I was writing the book, and I didn't finish the series until after I was done and published the book. So basically, you'll get everything there in that series for free, and you can have me read and discuss it as I'm reading it or comment on it to you. So like I said, you don't have to buy the book or support me in any way. You know, God is my only support. So I rely on him. And if some people buy books and that helps, well, that's great. Yeah. Washington. Okay. We did that one. The murdering of free speech in America. We have a commentary and a lot of good articles on what's going on. The Antichrist and his shadow government hate free speech because free speech is liberty. And they don't like liberty. They don't like anyone that speaks against their agenda. As a matter of fact, that's why they overtly burned Bibles and the writings of heretics, so-called. So when they murder your free speech, they're labeling you a heretic. You're going against the Antichrist agenda in the world. That's it. And if they could burn you at the stake, they would, if they could burn you and get away with it. And don't worry. If there comes a time that when they're able to do that again, they will do it. They're obviously, the scripture says that they're going to be beheading people who will not receive the mark of the beast. So apparently, even after the 10 horn powers in the world turns on the whore that rides the beast, Babylon, Mystery Babylon, and burns her with fire, they still will not repent. Because when Christ returns, they're going to want to murder him and battle against him and the elect that are with him. And perhaps we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Prophecy Reality. I'm Nicholas Arthur. I'll be back in a few minutes. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality edition. And I expect you all to listen to First Amendment Radio during the week when my doing my other broadcast. We're going through. I'm finishing up this week, though, the last prophecy. But you can catch all of those. I have those published, the entire audio series published on, if you look for The Last Prophecy and Odyssey. I'll put a link today on my website under this or somewhere. But anyway, I'm doing it in a video series too. So you might want to catch that if you scroll down, but I'll put the Odyssey link. I'll publish it with the next one at least. where you can get the entire audio series published on Odyssey. So anyway, make sure you take care of that. But anyway, in the chat room, Ty had a question, I believe it was. He says, does Babylon City need to be rebuilt before the Mark of the Beast shows up? And when he calls us all to take the mark, does that mean that we are all dead by that time? Okay, well, let's go one question at a time. As far as the mark, we're all dead by the time he takes the mark? No, absolutely not. We're going to resist. The Bible says that some of us will be killed for not taking the mark. So that answers that. Okay. But does it mean that everyone who doesn't take it will be killed? Well, it means that their intent will be to kill everyone that does not take the mark. Whether they will succeed in that, they haven't always succeeded in the past when they require people to be marked by them in one way or another, or at least to go along with them and not raise any opposing views like the true Bible or justification by faith and things like that, or going against transubstantiation. All of these things are marks of the beast, but this one that outlined as a financial mark in Revelation 13 is the one that is absolutely developing now and is present and will be forced upon the whole earth. Because I really believe that's the true object behind the whole pharmakia thing and the forcing everyone, is to be able to get everyone to have an ID so they can have total control over your money, that you don't even have cash. Okay? Yeah, so that's where they're going with that anyway. As to the other one, does Babylon City need to be rebuilt before the Mark of the Beast? Well, no, it doesn't, because as it says here in Revelation 17:3, so he carried me away, John speaking, of course, in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. And of course, to understand all these symbols, this is the book. Wait a minute. This book here. Oh yeah. The Beast Apocalyptic Answers, and goes into all of these symbols that we're talking about. And like I said, if you understand this book here, then everything else kind of falls into place. Saw a scarlet colored beast, and we know that as the red dragon, that first introduced in chapter 12 of the Revelation, full of names of blasphemy, okay, religious power, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. So the key word there is mystery. It's telling you it wouldn't be a mystery if it was just Babylon City, okay? Which is a symbol that they use for like the EU and the European Economic Community or stuff like that. They like that symbol, the Tower of Babylon. Or they think somehow it's going to be Babylon over there in Shinar, wherever that city is that Saddam Hussein was trying to rebuild. No, that isn't it. This is Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots. It's a she. It's not a nation. It's not a he. All nations, all of the beasts were definitely masculine. This, like the woman, being the church, this is a harlot woman, but the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Right about that. Now we understand the relationship between the woman, Mystery Babylon, and the beast. See, Mystery Babylon is a woman. The woman, Mystery Babylon, and the beast. She rides or controls the scarlet colored beast, the red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. Daniel represented her as the little horn. Her sovereign status among the nations qualifies her position among the 10 horn powers, though little. That little horn, being given a mouth speaking blasphemy, identifies it as a religious power. The mouth of the little horn is that of the man of sin, also called the Antichrist, who opposes the true Christ, and the false prophet, who takes the place of Moses' true prophet, the Messiah that Israel was waiting for. This false prophet is cast into the lake of fire with the beast to perdition. One common theme that brings all of these symbols, little horn, man of sin, and harlot woman together, is blasphemy. So let me see, that's from my exposition of the Revelation book, and also I'm sure that same information is here in the Beast Apocalyptic. That's what we have to say about Babylon, Mystery Babylon. So the city of Babylon and Mystery Babylon are two different things, two different cities. One is an ancient city that will never be rebuilt and come to prominence in the earth, and the other one is going to be destroyed with fire by the ten-horned power coming to the old world neighborhood real soon, and probably likely to spread throughout the whole earth to all of her subordinate outposts in the world. So we'll be looking for that when it's going to be a horrible time, actually. It's going to be a terrible time, a time of terrible retribution and vengeance, because as the scripture says there, that God has put it into their hearts to carry out this judgment for them. But then, like I said, they do not repent either, and they oppose Christ when he returns with all of his saints. But we know how that's going to turn out too. So we can all look forward to being, as the scripture says, being transformed if we're alive and remain in at that time, transformed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I don't call that the rapture. I call it the resurrection. I don't want to use a Catholic word, okay, from the Catholic Bible, okay, because it denotes all that false prophecy if we use the word rapture. So I'm going to stick with what the Bible says, resurrection. When Jesus comes, we will be resurrected, not in a secret rapture, but in the resurrection of all of his saints, those that are alive and remain at that time, and everyone who has passed on before, all of the elect from Adam and Eve to whoever the last of the elect is, when he comes at that time, will all be raised, because all of the promises to Israel are fulfilled in Christ, so they all have to be there too. So they will be there, because Christ is their fulfillment. There's no separate plan for the Jew, because there never was a separate plan. Just the Gentile nations and everyone who would receive Christ after that are grafted into that plan. Okay, not a separate plan. We're grafted into it. It is the Church of Christ. Okay, the true Israel. And the true Israel of all time would go from Adam and Eve, like I said, all through history, include Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and, you know, all of the righteous that you read about in the Bible, plus all of their families, plus all of the righteous you don't read about in the Bible, and all of the righteous that you never knew, but you will have time in eternity to get to know. It's going to be wonderful. Yeah. But before that, we have a layover here with the millennial reign of Christ, in which there will be another harvest of the earth over 1,000 years. And you can read about that in Revelation chapter 20 and forward. Okay. How that plays out. There's enough information there that, we don't need more information. But, and that's what I write about in the last three chapters of my book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, address that era of time, the millennium and forward. So I have three chapters on that. Those three chapters are called, the Millennium Question. What year is it? The Millennium Question and Prospects for the Unfulfilled Future. So that's the last three chapters of this book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And plus, you can just go back, and I've done plenty of articles and that you can learn everything without buying a book at all. So if you have an aversion to books or reading, Just go back through all of my posts and you could learn everything that I've written in a book somewhere on my website. It's all there, probably repeated many times over. So there you go. Okay, so that, I guess that answers that question as far as the Mother of Harlots and Mystery Babylon. Let me see if there's anything else going on here in the chat room. Let's see, also for doing... Thanks for doing the study, Horror Apocalyptica. Okay, you're welcome for that, Stephen and Ellie and the whole family over there. Dale says, can't make this stuff up. Believe it or not, Washington, D.C. is built on the city that was called Rome, and it was owned by a man named Francis Pope. I never heard of that Francis Pope thing. I knew it was the, it might have been, but I know it was the, what's his name? Tom Fress has been going through it on his broadcast that we're replaying right now on, the Global Vatican. But yeah, F. Tupper Saucy's, book, Rulers of Evil, outlines much of that beginning of the 10-mile square concentration of power for the Antichrist in the New World. That's what it was all about. So you're welcome for that study there. Like I said, take advantage of that if you go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and you scroll down. If you go to the homepage and scroll down, that is, you can see those parts. The Last Prophecy, I have part 4 published so far, and I'm going to keep publishing. There's 27 parts to this, but it goes through the whole Revelation. And what the Last Prophecy is, it is an abridgment of the Horae Apocalypticae. So, like Dale says, you can't make this stuff up, man. Yeah, it's all history. That's why history is so important. Because if we understand the history, you go through that history and you understand it and research it and then check it out, you know, do your own research, get the, you can go through the Horae Apocalypticae itself, not just the abridgment. Go to horaeapocalypticae.wordpress.com and it's all there. It's all footnoted. You can check out all the footnotes. E.B. Elliott, did not play games like a lot of people with footnotes do. We've been through this in the past. I've gone through articles and books and stuff, and these people footnote their stuff, and you look it up, and the footnote is absolutely has nothing to do with what they're trying to prove. But they put it there because it looks good, I guess. I don't know. Or they see something that isn't there. But, you know, unless I can agree it's there, unless we can all agree it's there, it ain't there. Yeah, and that's why I've published these, like the Horae Apocalypticae and the Last Prophecy, and updated them, because E.B. Elliott did not see what happened after 1860, because if he did, well, he would have wrote some different stuff in there. He would have changed a couple things and wrote about a couple more things that got fulfilled in the time. That has the time in between when he left off his great work. But up to the turn of the century and the French Revolution, he pretty much nailed it. He got it 99.9% correct, I would say, by doubling down and checking out his references and his research and his footnotes. You go, yeah, all that, everything he footnoted is actually there. So that's all there for you for free. Yeah, you can check out the Horae Apocalypticae for free online, the Reformation Quincentennial Edition, by going to horaeapocalypticae.wordpress.com, and that homepage looks like that. And you'll see all four volumes there, available for you. So you just click on the one you want, you get the table of contents, and it'll take to you to whatever chapter you want to go to. And for instance, chapter 9 brings you up to date, Rise of the Two Horned Earth Beast. Yes, yeah, take advantage of all of these resources there and spread these things around. That's what they're there for. Nobody has to pay me for anything, because God supports me and he supports my family. And even though I'm looking forward to in the next, I'm not looking forward to it as happy about it, but losing, you know, internet access and PayPal money by, you know, for all the work I'm doing here, I'll just move to the ground and that's what I'll do. And I think I'm going to start doing that over the next year or so, working on a ground-based ministry. So when the internet's no longer accessible to me, that I'll be working on the ground and moving in that direction as I move on in my age and get closer to the day that Jesus returns. Yeah. And that's what we should all be doing, looking for a way that we can serve God right where we're at. It's like Stephen going to these meetings and sharing articles and stuff and getting called back. Praise God. You know, that's the Holy Spirit is working and the people want to hear more. So I have a lot of resources and I hope that I believe that post that I did, Romans 13 and socialism, who is the higher power, God or civil government, is very appropriate for the questions that people have like that for today. And I was thinking about taking a look at that and perhaps redoing it and refining the message there some, so I might do that. Okay, well, I'm just about out of time unless people have any more questions and stuff like that. Believe it or not, Washington. Okay, I read that already. Steve says, thanks for doing the study in Hori Apocale. Apocalyptike, or he says Hori Apocalypse. Yeah. So, you're welcome for that. It's my pleasure, my honor, my privilege to serve my Lord with my feeble efforts here on this mortal plane while I have time left and until he takes me home, be it 5 years, 10 years, or even another 40 years, or so should I say 33 years. Yeah. That was the mortal life span of Jesus was 33 years. And that's kind of like what we have left now. Yeah. What was the lifetime of Christ in his mortal flesh? And the scripture says that when we see him, we will be like him. So, hey, will I be 33 physically? Yeah, I not only will we be 33 physically, but we'll be the perfect 33 physically that we should have been if we were in good health when we were 33, which I think I was in pretty good health when I was 33. I had quit smoking for 3 years at that time. Yeah. I quit smoking cigarettes, if you can believe that or not, when I was 30 years old on my 30th birthday. Because I started smoking when I was a teenager. And thank God he got me to lose all that stuff and leave it behind then, or I wouldn't be sitting here in the good health that I'm in today. And if God could save a wretch like me, well, and boy, I'm going to tell you what I've learned over my 40 plus since I was 19, so that would be, ooh, yikes. Is it really that long? Because I'm going to be, let's see, 19 plus 50 is 69. I'm going on 50 years with Christ because I was 19. Yeah, it took me 11 years to quit smoking and get to that point where I could leave all that stuff behind. And just the patience of our Heavenly Father, how much He loves us. Is amazing to me that he's put up with me for here going on 50 years and I'm by no means near perfect yet. Yeah. Cause that we are without him in my life, I would be totally lost and totally wretched. And I'm pretty wretched as I am when I see what I really am in the light of his glory and his grace and his perfection. I could go another 40 years and still not be perfect. Yeah. So, but I'm willing to serve him, in whatever capacity for as long as he wants me to serve him. That's my heart today. And, just to proclaim that his love for me has been amazing. It's amazing that he still loves me, you know, that his patience and his enduring me for all these years, and how long it's taken me to even allow him to do what he's done in me. I've been a hindrance to him. At least that's how I feel, to, you know, to what he would like me to be. I don't know. Can anyone hinder God? So I'm just speaking, it's a figure of speech in a lot of the things I say, because I don't have words. Like I say, I can't wait. You know, it's a figure of speech. I can't wait to see my son and meet him for the first time as a whole resurrected, perfected, glorified man of 33. Yeah, praise God. See, that's what we have to look forward to. That is the promises of God. And I'll meet my sister and all of my family that I've never met before, and those that I met or wasn't old enough to realize that I was going to lose them and never really know them. And to see the people that I know and love in perfection and in the beauty of what God has stored for those, it has in store for those that love him, and that we will know each other in fellowship and like we never could before, and that our love for each other will be perfected. In this world, our love is so imperfect. Sometimes I think about my love for God and how shallow and imperfect it must be, that I have to rely solely on his love for me. And what I say is, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as we all travel the narrow way that leads to life together. I'll see you next time.